Today's scripture reading is from the first book of Timothy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Indeed, religion with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with that. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils, and some people, in their desire for it, have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. But you, man of God, avoid all this. Indeed, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, before Jesus Christ, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate, for the noble confession to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Tell the rich in present age not to be proud, not to rely on so uncertain a thing as wealth, but rather on God, who richly provides us with all the things for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in the works, to be generous, ready to share, thus accumulating as a treasure a good foundation for the future, as to win the life that is true life. This has been the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Grateful to our brother in Christ for sharing those words. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you also for your word. It is not simply ink on paper. It is not dead. It is alive. And it speaks to us and speaks to us of resurrection power, of hope, of love, of guidance. Keep us open now to be blessed by how you work in our lives. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. You know, especially on vacation, you get a chance to do all sorts of reading, and you accumulate all sorts of trivia, and maybe even trivial information. But I was struck by one piece of information that I garnered. Do you realize, first of all, whenever I say app, do you know what I mean? Any of you who have a cell phone or an iPhone, okay, you know what I'm talking about whenever I talk about an app, okay? You can go ahead and download these applications, and they do different things. And if you're one of those people that just kind of looks at the cell phone and uses it as a paperweight, it does all sorts of amazing things. Really, it's amazing. I want to talk more about cell phones in just a minute. But believe it or not, there is an app now for Hershey's virtual chocolate milk. Virtual chocolate milk. Go ahead and say it along with me. What's the point? I can remember back in Pennsylvania being in dairy country, and they had chocolate milk. They had milk there that was pure fat. Okay, you just drink it down. It's like a milkshake. Yeah, you just go ahead and leave a little bit in the corners of your mouth to drink off later. It's so thick. What's the point of virtual chocolate milk? I don't know. If anybody can explain that to me, talk to me afterwards. I'll be waiting right up here at the altar to be able to talk to you about that. Also, speaking of cell phones, I was there on the beach, and I was talking to a brother in Christ, in fact, this morning, and he said, "Did you get a chance to dig your toes into the sand?" Oh, yeah, I did. Go ahead and dig those in. And whenever you're standing there and the water comes in and then it goes back out again and it takes the sand out and you're kind of doing some land surfing like that, you didn't expect to see this morning, did you? I'm sorry about that for that image. I apologize. I'd have to leave you with that. But it goes back out. And, you know, you're digging your toes into the sand and just taking it in. And boy, the breeze is wonderful, and it's blowing through my scalp, and just I'm just really loving it. And the sun's coming down on me, and you know, the water is beautiful, and that sand and the seagulls and everything. And I look around, and I see this brother in Christ riding his bike in the midst of all of this beauty on the beach. And what's he got up to his ear? What's he concentrating on? He's just talking away. And I was going to say, hey, but then I thought I'd startle him. He'd crash. I'd have to pray over him, get him to the hospital, things like that. I was on vacation. I didn't want to have to do that. But it was amazing to me. You know, amidst all of that phenomenal beauty of God, amidst God's creation, and for me, there are times, it's like whenever I finally get to the top of a hill, if I'm hiking and I look out and thank God that I still have my lungs and heart intact and everything like that, and I look out and see His creation. Whenever I'm at the ocean and I look out and I just see the immensity of that, and yet this brother, maybe he lives there, you know, and he got used to it. I've heard that from people. You know, you live someplace and you just kind of get used to the beauty that's all around you. It struck me, however, because for us as Christians, we are called to be open to God's grace in our lives. We are called to be open to seeing God's presence. And we are also called to celebrate the blessings that we have. There's a Sheryl Crow song, "Soak Up the Sun," and this is one of the verses. It's not having what you want, it's wanting what you have. And I kind of like that. To be content with what we have, to recognize the blessing in what we have, and not to kind of be on that bicycle flying past all the blessings, holding up the cell phone, not recognizing God at work all around us. For us, we have to be reminded to tune into God, because you know what? He's already tuned into us. The scripture passage for today is one that points to correct teaching. Timothy was being encouraged here, and he was being encouraged because there were false teachers. There were individuals that were coming up with things that were not of God, that were not about God's kingdom, were not inspired by God, and were in fact, quite honestly, simply about building up themselves and following their own agenda. And Timothy's receiving instructions here to go ahead and stay true to the faith and continue to be consistent with what God places on his heart. There's a Greek term, actually, that refers to this, and the Greek term translated talks about taking hold of, grasping, catching with great enthusiasm. In other words, Timothy is encouraged here to hold on to the truth, to really, really focus on this and focus all of his energy in being a messenger of God, a channel of God's truth, and in fact directing his whole life to that. He was a leader in the early church, and he was a teacher. Whether we consider ourselves a leader in the church, in the present day church, or whether or not we consider ourselves a teacher, we are called also to grasp onto the truth, to hold on to it with all of our energy, and to focus on it completely. Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's in Mark chapter 1, 15. The kingdom, in other words, has arrived. This shapes our human perspective on life and on the materials of this world. Hear this truth. Things are passing, we are not. As we have that saving, eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's the truth. Things will pass away, we will not. We are about eternity, and we are about that final destination, not the movie, but rather eternity with God, being received into His grace, into His arms of mercy forever. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. We are called, therefore, we are called to seize real life, to recognize what has been ushered into by Christ, by His birth, by His coming into the world, God incarnate, in other words, actually present in a human form. We are called to be involved in realness in our life, not in a destructive life. We are called to orient our lives about what around what is ultimate and lasting, not about what disintegrates and destroys. Jesus also says in John 14, 23, those who love me will keep my word. My Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. This is not a home that is made with human hands, folks. This is the home that we are called to create this morning. But we are called to create that kind of home as the church wherever we gather and whenever we gather. And we are called to be about creating shalom or peace. We are called to be about serving others as a daily pattern. Worship is something that we are called to do both night and morning. This home with God on earth offers but a glimpse of that eternal home which is made when we join Christ in unapproachable life. That's from 1 Timothy. Because of God's grace, we have every reason to be content. There's other imagery here also that I wanted to go ahead and point out. We are called by our baptisms to fight the good fight of the faith. The Greek phrase, fight the good fight, quote unquote, more accurately reads, contest the good contest. One commentator says, maintaining the faith and living the faith require the energy of a good athlete. Now, it's no surprise that in biblical truth, those imageries of athleticism and athletes come forward. Paul has used this before, and he did it for a reason, because those who heard it would understand it. And those who heard it valued athletic competition and training. And so they thought, okay, being a Christian is training, mind, body, and spirit. Every aspect of ourselves. You know, I attend AWC volleyball games, football games, basketball games, men and women. I just kind of hang out at the gym, wait for them to open it up for the next event. No, it's not that addicted. But I do enjoy sports. I really do. And I know that's no surprise to any of you, because I keep bringing up analogies and illustrations of sports. And for some of you who have no interest in sports, you're just giving me this really nasty look right now. But bear with me. This is only part of the sermon. This is not the rest of the message. There is something to be said about appreciating someone who has trained, someone who has put in the time and effort to prepare themselves not only physically, but emotionally and mentally to be able to participate in an athletic contest, in a sport, in a game. There's something to be appreciated about that, because if you've ever been involved in athletics, you realize what time goes into it and what sacrifice. And you're seeking to prepare yourself on every level to engage in the game, in that contest, in that endeavor. There was a pastor friend of mine who had been at a seventh degree testing of a black belt Taekwondo master. Seventh degree testing. Is anybody here a seventh degree black belt by any chance? Just in case I have any problems or issues. You are? Okay, fantastic. Could you do something up here right now? Just some backflips or something? Just throw something out for us. And this master had studied 35 years specifically for this test. 35 years, 90% of this person's life had been involved in study, in preparation, in sacrifice, in training for this moment. At his testing, the master spoke of seven qualities necessary for achievement of this degree. And I wanted to share these with you because they very much speak to our Christian faith. These seven qualities necessary are vision, belief in action, integrity, persistence, expansion, compassion, acceptance, and surrender. You know, if I hadn't just told you that that was a testing for a seventh degree black belt, you'd think I was preaching from the gospel, wouldn't you? There's a lot to be said for that. There's an awful lot to be said for that. For those who strive to attend a particular goal and they claim a saving relationship with God, there are certain characteristics that they're going to be striving to develop in themselves. Paul elaborates on the basic approach to living whenever it says about positive living rather than about destructive living in his letter to the Philippians. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. And then here is the verse that many people know. This is why you need to look at Scripture in context. You need to look at all of Scripture. This is the verse that everyone knows. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You've heard that, right? From Philippians. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. But look at what Paul has said before that. I'm content. Whether there's a lot, whether there's a little, because I have a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In other words, I have peace in my heart. And Paul understands the whole idea of training. Earlier in Philippians, he talks about running the race and running straight forward. You might have been familiar with that passage as well. So the instructions to Timothy here bring us back to training our entire selves, preparing our entire selves, and recognizing that every single part of us, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be psychological, whether it be spiritual, needs to be trained for doing God's work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So reading the Bible, being in His Word, is one of the most important things. And I encourage everyone here, in fact, if you don't have a Bible translation that you find readable, please let me know. Please let me know. And I'll make sure you get one, a good study Bible that you'll find readable, that you'll find accessible. We'll make sure that that happens. Being in prayer, but training in other ways as well, preparing our entire bodies to be of service for God. What a wonderful image that is. We understand that Jesus is the miracle for the world, and nothing comes before God. You know, sometimes the training that we engage in leads us into a challenge. Being a Christian doesn't mean, folks, everything is going to come up rosy. That everything is going to come up the way that you expect it, or that everything is going to go your way. Sometimes, as we feel like we get more and more on the path of being attuned to God and being open to our Heavenly Father, the one who's always open to us, sometimes as we get deeper and deeper on that path and start feeling stronger and stronger, it's at that moment that a challenge, maybe the greatest challenge in our lives, comes before us. In May 1934 in Nazi Germany, it was a critical time for the Christian church. There were those Christians who basically acquiesced to the Nazi party. And they did what they thought they needed to just survive. And then there were other Christians who recognized the evil in their midst. And they created something called the Bardam Declaration. What it said was revolutionary. And indeed, what they wrote down was in essence a death sentence for them. But they knew that they had to step forward and offer this truth. Hitler is not God's miracle for the world. Jesus Christ is. Nothing comes before our Heavenly Father. The planning, the preparation, the training, all had led those valiant brothers and sisters in Christ, those martyrs of the faith, the saints of the church, to be willing to step forward at that time, in a very dark time, and speak the truth against one of the greatest evils that the world has ever seen. Our training, what is it going to be leading us into? What are we going to be called to do? Not particularly sure. I can't predict that. Nobody really can. And indeed, whenever we're just trying to figure out what's coming down the road, then we miss the moment that we're in that God is ministering to us, speaking to us, encouraging us, filling us. If I didn't mention this particular scripture passage, you'd say, did he really read that? The love of money is the root of all evil. There, I said it. It's funny because as you look at this entire passage and you look at it in context, that really becomes secondary. It really does. It's been one of the most misquoted scripture passages in all of history because people have often misquoted it saying, money is the root of all evil. No, no, the love of it, worshiping it. But that goes back to idolatry. That goes back to this statement that I just read. Hitler is not the miracle of the world. Jesus Christ is. What are we making our idol? You know, people who train themselves even can sometimes make themselves their idol. And they start, as they're training and getting more fit and able to accomplish more and more things, start kind of saying, yeah, I think I look pretty good. Maybe kind of pause in that mirror, kind of lean back and look, yeah, it's looking good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, absolutely. There has to be a humility. There has to be a humility where we focus on where God is leading us. And I think if there's any message this morning from the scripture is that we are training not for our own gratification, but we are training to be modern-day disciples to build God's church. We are training to be modern-day disciples to give Him the glory. We are training to be witnesses. Sometimes, by the way, folks, you have no idea the people who are watching you because they know you're a Christian. What are they going to see? What are they going to hear? Whenever we're training, whenever we're preparing ourselves, we're ready. Because it comes out naturally. We don't have to put on an act. Okay, I got to put on my Christian outfit because I'm going to church. I got to put on my Christian outfit because I'm going to be with so-and-so. I got to go ahead and do this because I'm going to be out in public. No, it becomes something about who we are. What a wonderful blessing it is to see that taking place. What a wonderful blessing it is to see the growth that is happening. What a joy it is to recognize this truth here, that there is no kingdom of me, it is the kingdom of God. That is who I seek to serve. That is who I humble myself before all other names. That is the name that I lift up above all names, even my own. And that is the love and grace that I seek to be a channel of in this life. Are we paying attention to how God is at work all around us? Or are we riding along on that bike stuck in our cell phone? Are we understanding God's grace that is washing over us abundantly, profusively, or are we just kind of wrapped up in our own thing? Are we opening ourselves to being trained by God to be able to serve and thereby experience His kingdom and recognize that this world is temporary, but we are people of eternity because we have that saving relationship with God, and we will one day be with God in eternity, resting in His arms of glory and peace? Folks, there's so much more to the Christian walk, so much more that we have to learn. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is with us as we learn, as we grow, as we seek to be His people, His disciples, His church? I'd invite you to take a few moments right now in this time of discipleship simply to think about training, simply to think about how God has been preparing you. As you hear the music, just kind of let that wash over you too. And if you'd like to offer this prayer, simply say, Lord, use me, train me. What areas of my life would you like to be at work in? I open that to you now. God loves you more than you can imagine. And God's love is at work in your specific life at this very moment. Not because I'm saying it, because it's true. Receive that love and grace.